who struggles with something at any level in the church, you know, whether you're a volunteer or you're the senior pastor, with communications. Like, how can we communicate the gospel more clearly, and how can we do it within our bulletin, and then how can we do it with our, like, external communication, how the people see us as a church. And so I want to help churches tell a better story.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nick Runyon, and we are at NRB. Nick, welcome to podcast at NRB.
Welcome to NRB, Nils.
Welcome to NRB. This is my second NRB. For those that don't know, NRB stands for...
National Religious Broadcasters.
Yes, and Nick,
which are we? Are we religious broadcasters?
We are religious broadcasters.
Excellent.
So this is why we're live here, and we're just together, and... primary reason why we're live right now is we have the infamous Katie Allred here in studio.
Ooh,
Club 44 at NRB.
Club 44 at NRB.
Yes.
We're just rolling deep right now.
I would be shocked if there's anybody who listens to our podcast that doesn't know who you are.
Broadcasting from high above Nashville.
Yes.
From Club 44.
From Club 44.
With Katie Allred.
Of
church
many things. But church communications is where you are probably best known to this audience.
Yeah, it's so odd.
Yes.
Thank you.
So let's. I introduced somebody to Katie earlier, and I said she has 14,000 people in her church communications Facebook group, and you were very quick to correct me.
There's 15,000 now.
15,000.
There's 15,000 people,
yes.
Nick.
We're nearly 16,000.
Wow.
So it just, I don't know. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for
yeah.
it, but
yeah.
It just kind of happened to me. Yeah.
So we want to get to that story. But before
okay.
that, your
All
backstory,
right.
what you do,
oh,
and,
gosh.
And leading up to the
like
becoming famous
story.
On Facebook.
Yeah. So I grew up in Alabama.
Okay.
And I went to a small Southern Baptist school, University of Mobile, go Rams.
Wow.
And yeah, and then I studied computer information systems, so I was actually in network administration.
Okay.
Before I was in the church world.
Interesting.
And so I was digging ditches, like running optical fiber
wow.
in the mud.
Really?
And wow. I realized really quickly that wasn't what God called me to. That wasn't what God had for me. But I had been making websites for a long time. So,
okay.
And I like
okay.
to, I love to
Just
tell
did it
people,
as a hobby?
Yeah. So it was kind of like, it was a hobby slash a job. So I started making websites when I was 9. And I actually created a forum for Harry Potter fans.
Wow.
Out of HarryPotterFanZone.com. And what was really cool about Harry Potter FanZone is that we won an award from J.K. Rowling.
Wow.
So it's actually
awesome.
An Australian website. My friend Andy McRae, who's just a really awesome developer and a really cool dude, we worked on that together. So what was cool is we created this forum, and we had like 10,000 members in that forum, and it was just a really neat opportunity.
Wow.
So yeah.
So you were how old when you were in that?
I was like 9 to 14.
So you
like,
but you learned online community then.
I learned online community
through...
from 9 to 14.
Wow.
I had created my own website. And just had my own blog, so it was
okay.
before MySpace. So my blog got a ton of traffic. I mean, like, social media killed me because I had ran AdWords and stuff.
Okay.
You know, I was making money off
yeah.
of my website from like 12 years old.
As
like
a teenager.
16.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was making like a substantial income. And yeah, so it paid for like a part of my college.
Wow.
And yeah, it was just so odd.
Do you still own Harry Potter FanZone?
I didn't own it, no.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
So I actually came alongside and learned a lot of the stuff that I know from my Australian friends and from
cool.
some friends
yeah.
in America. It's so cool. One of my friends, Jessica, she actually lives in New York. She works for Spotify. And it's
that's
just,
cool.
I don't know. We have been best friends online since we were kids. So it's just really neat to, you know, still have those relationships. But I got to share the love of Christ through Harry Potter. It wasn't like intentional. It wasn't like a part of my strategy
yeah, yeah,
or anything.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that so many people didn't know anything about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, worldwide.
Yeah.
And so I got to have those intentional conversations that revolved around Harry Potter, but also revolved around Jesus. So,
did your parents know that you were on the internet interacting with all these people all over the world?
They had no idea. I think that they knew, like, somewhat, like, but they really had no
Katie,
clue.
She's good at computers.
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing.
It was that. Like, oh, man, Katie's great at computers. Like, they, like,
oh,
one
goodness.
Time my dad, like, sold a logo to someone for me. And I didn't sell logos. Like, that wasn't what I did. I didn't sell graphic design. He just knew I could do graphics because he had seen it. And so one day he was like, he hooked me up with like some construction company. He just told them that it was his daughter, but he acted like I was much older than I was. I was 13 at the time.
Wow.
So he talked to him for me. Like, he was like my business manager or something.
Yep.
And he was like, well, how much do you think you, I asked him, I was like, how much do you think I should charge them?
Yep.
And he was like, how much do you think you're worth? I was like,
$1 million.
No, I was like, I don't know, $600. And so, anyways, I made my first, my $600.
As a 13-year-old.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is your oldest?
Yeah.
12.
You better get out of 1 year from now. You better be making $600.
It was so funny, too, because when I was on my way to college, I'd never seen this logo, like, in person, like, printed on something or whatever. I was on my way to college. And I saw the logo on the back of somebody's truck.
Yeah.
And I was and this was like 6 years afterwards. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, they're still using it, first off. And I definitely made it in Photoshop and not Illustrator.
Yeah.
So God bless them. I'm so sorry. It wasn't an EPS file.
They didn't know.
They're listening right now. Wait a second.
We want our $600 back.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. So you were in this online community, entrepreneurial from the age of 9.
Yeah. Whoops.
And,
my parents were that way, though.
Community online. And then how did you get into ministry?
Yeah, so I was raised in church, which is awesome. My family planted a church in 1818 in Alabama, a year before Alabama became a state. And so I just kind of stand on the shoulders of giants in faith. Yeah, so I grew up in the church. I was the kid who was like really annoying and at like the church budget meeting on Sunday night and like interjecting. Why are we spending $10,000 on this idea? Like, I don't know. I was super annoying. So I don't know. That's kind of how I was raised, which was really cool. But what I didn't realize and what was really, I don't know, neat about my like spiritual journey is that when I was like 12, I was asking those really annoying questions like, what about predestination?
Yep.
What does it say that in Romans chapter 8? And my my Sunday school teacher at the time, who's a furniture store owner, he's an amazing man of God, he was an atheist and became a Christian in Vietnam when he was there, and he took it upon himself to disciple me. And intentionally disciple me, not just not just like carelessly. Like, he really invested a lot of time in me, and we met on a like kind of a weekly basis. And I asked him questions about faith, but more than that, he asked me questions about my faith, and really molded and shaped that, and made sure that what I knew was backed by biblical proof, and that too, that I was leading people to Christ.
Yep.
And that was at the forefront of my mind all the time. Like who, not just who are you discipling, because that's important, but also who are you, like, who are you setting yourself up to have intentional conversations about Jesus?
I can see that, kind of the fingerprints of that in your work with the church communications Facebook group.
Yeah.
Like, I see that coming from you all the time. There's the intentionality, the mission, like the drive.
Yeah, I just want to be so intentional with that, and also with, I mean, obviously with my life, but it's just so, like, it's so important, too, now that I have this influence with the group. It's so odd. Like, you know, I started with the group expecting, Daryl and I started it, and we talked about creating an email list, and I was like, I really want a community. I was like, how can I make a community? Because I had been in community before in a forum. Wet. And I was like, well, groups are cool. And I've been a part of some really cool groups. I'd been a part of some entrepreneur groups that I thought were really neat on Facebook. And I was like, I'm going to create this and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get 10 people there. It'll be me and Kenny Jung. but it was so neat how God continued to bless it and continued to work through it. And I remember when we reached 7,000 people and just being like,
So for those that, we've talked about groups before, I'm a huge Facebook groups fan, but for those that don't know, like, who's the audience? Like, who benefits from being in this group of yours, church communications?
Yeah, honestly, if you're a pastor, if you're a senior pastor, I think you can get something from it. But if you're like the video producer or you're a lay person, like you're a volunteer and you're just helping put together the bulletin every week, you can get something from it. Hopefully we can help you do your bulletin better or find a way to make it easier for you to do it. Because there's somebody who struggles with something at any level in the church, you know, whether you're a volunteer or you're the senior pastor, with communications. Like, how can we communicate the gospel more clearly, and how can we do it within our bulletin, and then how can we do it with our, like, external communication, how the people see us as a church. And so I want to help churches tell a better story. And so how can we give Jesus new PR, you know, like Matthew Paul Turner talks about, you know, like how can we help turn the story from one that is so divisive about the church to one that is a shining light in dark places. And so I hope we can do that. You know, that's my hope and my, you know, my aim with our group, you know, is how can we help churches tell those stories better.
Yeah. So I ran into Daryl 2 weeks ago at the E-Church Summit, and we were talking about the group, and he was telling me about when you guys, that it was your idea originally, and talked about it, and he's like, this will never work.
Really hates Facebook. That's like true to this day.
Yeah.
He doesn't enjoy it. He really doesn't love social media at all. He's so funny, though. Like, that's the funny part. Like, he's really great at Twitter.
Yep.
He's fantastic at it because he has, like, these great, like, quips in his head.
Yep.
And, but, yeah, he just doesn't get it, I guess, on a certain level. Yep. And so I kind of dragged him, like, kicking and screaming over to it because I knew what I love about Daryl is that he has this ability to speak in ways that sometimes I can't. And then also he is so consistent. And persistent.
Yep.
And that's what I needed, was someone to push me over the edge to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because
I think by myself, I would have given up, you know, or I would have been afraid or whatever. You know, he's like my, I don't know, my Aaron or something.
So the whole thing has shocked him. Is there anything that has surprised you out of the group from when you started it to what it is today?
Oh, yeah. The entire time's been shocking. I'm just like Taylor Swift when you show up at a concert and you're Taylor Swift's like looking at like, did you people show up for like this? Like, are you sure? But it's been great. Yeah, it's so cool. Like, God's doing and the stories that he's telling and the people that feel like they're not alone anymore. I think that's really what I wanted to give was those volunteers a place where they felt like they weren't alone in the church. Because, you know, there are thousands of churches, you know, not only in America, but across the world, and who are creating bulletins, or creating video, who are creating creative things, and they felt like they had no one on their team, they felt like they had no one that understood, maybe their pastor didn't even understand why they were trying to do these things this way, and there was just, you know, this deficit, and so I wanted to create a place where they felt like they belonged, and they felt like they weren't alone, and they felt like they could be resourced. They felt like they had a whole team behind them, even if they were complete just one person. And so I think that's what, hopefully, the culture that we've created in the group is one of help and one of giving away free things. And because that's what we want to do more than anything is to just give away, give away, give away. And so I like to think we're like Robin Hood a lot of times. Like, we have some resources that are like paid, but it's because we just want to take from the rich and give it to the poor. Like, we just want to like even it out as much as possible. So the person who has a church of 50 or a church plant that's just starting out can get and Elevation's in our group too, and like you can talk to Elevation one-on-one if you're like, I'm wondering what font they were using last week. Well, I can hook you up with that person, and they can tell you exactly how they made that, and they'll probably tell you it's really simple and not that complicated. Like, I talk with Jasmine from Elevation all the time, and she gives me such good like feedback and tips and stuff. I'm like, that was really easy, and I thought it was so complicated. So I really created it for myself. So I could get all of these people. I'm so grateful to have it.
That's a good point. Like, a lot of product comes from somebody trying to solve a problem for themselves. They're like, oh, wait, other people have the same problem. I'm going to create this business and sell it, you know?
Right.
So do you ever think about, do you get groupthink I'm not sure how to phrase the question, but I'm wondering, like, how much do churches, like, want to differentiate? Or do people kind of fall into the same lanes? Or is that an issue at all? Or
I think people do. I think we do have sometimes groupthink. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
I think that having some commonality is very good, especially in the church. I was just talking about Mormon branding earlier and how concise Mormon branding is. And that's because they're sharing one common message and it's so strong. And they've come together so well on this is what we stand for and who we are. And so I think as churches, you know, we have 15,000 members, but maybe 12,000 churches. I'm going to assume that there's some double up or something there. But like, you know, can we come together and tell these common stories together clearly and articulate a common message of the light and the gospel, you know, and
kind of help refine that.
Yeah.
That message
help refine
well.
It. Yes. There are definitely some differences, but sure. I think there are more like times where we're trying to do so many similar things. Of course, we're going to have like some strife against double spacing versus single spacing. Those conversations come on every week, and I'm like, what? Guys, it's single spacing.
Single spacing. This shouldn't be strife. This should be just a clear.
I know.
People know the right way or the wrong way.
It's proportional fonts now, guys. It's not monospace. I had to study the history of fonts so I could literally argue and tell people, like, no, this is it. Like, there's no double spacing.
You went
anymore.
Way further. Because I saw that was like last week or something.
Oh,
that
yeah,
post came up again.
That's not the only thing that's happened. That's not the only time it's ever happened. It's the best. I don't know. I love arguing about it. It was so funny. Daryl had tweeted later. He said, I actually triple space so I can show people the Trinity.
The Trinity.
He was like, the Trinity
yes.
of spacing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's getting practical for church leaders.
Yeah.
So you have, I'm sure, learned a ton about just Facebook groups, how to use them. How should a church leader take the success you've seen in this? Because basically you found a niche and served her well.
Yeah.
To, who knew there were even 14, 15, 16,000. Now,
church,
interested
yeah.
people in church communications.
Yeah.
I would have thought maybe it was a couple hundred that would have
I know.
Been a good community.
Yeah.
What can churches think? Or like how should a church leader think strategically about Facebook groups? We talked about recently on our Facebook changing their algorithm, preferring Facebook groups.
Right. They want to bring the world closer together.
Yeah, yeah.
That
so
is
how
the
should, how
second part of their mission that
yeah.
they haven't figured out yet.
Yeah.
And I think the church is uniquely positioned to provide it.
Yeah.
And so I think that what they need to do is
yeah.
actually find, like, create affinity groups.
Okay.
And so, and not put the church's name on it. I know.
Ooh. What?
I know.
Ooh.
I know.
No,
wild,
it's the
right?
church thing.
I know. It's like going to a bar and like not telling, saying you're a minister, right?
You're supposed to wear church t-shirts when you go to the bar.
Right. And all match.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Be very coordinated.
Wait, we're going to have to edit out any bar
here.
References we don't
I just
do.
Wear my
yeah.
CV shirt when I go. continue.
I mean, if anybody knows me personally, I've never drank in my life. So, they're,
Baptist,
but like, yeah,
yeah
I'm a Southern Baptist.
We're going to fact check
staunch. No, you definitely please call my mom. She will be like, yeah, that's true.
Like, we are the founding members of a 200-year-old church. Do you,
no,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
go ahead.
No, she would probably be like, what, we are? She doesn't like, she'll be like, what? Okay, cool. I don't know what Katie's talking about. She's great, though. Love
so
her.
Launch affinity groups
launch
without
affinity
your church
groups.
Name on it.
Yeah, so I want you to, like, create groups for, like, hiking, groups for, like, moms, groups for special needs parents, groups for, there's so many.
The garage sale groups are huge, right?
Yeah, garage sale group. Yeah. Create one of those, a knitting group. Like, create something, you know, that you're passionate about, that you have a passion for,
yep.
And then use it to create relationships because we know that out of relationship, you can have, that's how you share the gospel, you know?
Yeah.
A life change happens out of the context of a relationship. Mm. There's no way around it. And so you just want to have that in. You just
so
want
like,
to have that
like
intentional
basketball
in.
Basketball in the past.
Right.
And you would have people.
A kickball league.
Yes.
You know, you join a kickball league and then you make friends out of that kickball league and then you share the gospel. I just want you to make a group. I want you to try to, like, get 10 friends that know what you're doing. You
yes.
know? Like,
yeah.
find 10
yes.
people that know what you're doing but also agree with you not to be overtly crazy
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
And then get your 10 friends to add 10 of their friends that they know love hiking or whatever. Let's say it's hiking. And then start posting pictures of hiking and, like every week say, all right, let's have a thread of – you know, where'd you hike last or whatever,
yeah.
and talk about that, and then have a meetup once a month and say, all right, we're all going to go hiking together. Like, here in Nashville, we go to, like, Radnor. So, like, we're all going to go hiking together. Let's hang out. Let's, you know, grab some food afterwards or whatever. And just have normal relationships. And after those normal relationships, share Christ with them. I think that's so hard for the church to get their minds right sometimes. Isn't that terrible? Yeah. Like, sometimes I'm just like, they're just thinking we have to create, like, this program or something. Right. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be so programmed that you forget how to be normal people sometimes. Yeah. And I think that's the worst.
I think that's a great suggestion and a good roadmap, because one of the things you mentioned earlier was, like, just helped me get it started. Daryl was there to, like, help mm-hmm. walk along that path with you. You've given kind of an outline for how a church can get started and stay with it to the point of, like, that tipping point where it starts to...
And Facebook's algorithm will help you. Yeah. They want you to succeed at this. Like, that is what they want you to do. They want you to bring the world closer together. That is... They will help you 100%. Yep. And what's crazy is that, like, they know... Like, I've talked to Facebook about, like, this idea, and they want you to do it. Yeah. Like, Mark obviously visited churches across America. Yeah. He wants you to help people and create relationships. He doesn't want you to feel like you're living in an echo chamber. And, you know, obviously this is a great way to meet people who are different from you that aren't in your church already. I feel like a lot of times church marketing is just church swapping, right? Like, we're just going hard after Christians. Like, I'm just looking for Christians that are interested in church. Like, or I'm just, like, targeting them. I'm like, no, I don't want more Christians. What I want is people who are far from Christ. Who don't know where to turn when everything's gone south.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And so how can I find those people? And, you know, it's out of relationship. So we've got to create opportunities to have those conversations. And I think creating these groups are a great way to intentionally have a forged plan to have those conversations.
Yeah. So from a community standpoint, it sounds as if where I get pushed back in social media is we are spending more and more time on social media, wasting our lives instead of having real relationships. I see kind of that evangelism opportunity, but then it's as if, are you then at home just on your cell phone, you know, doing all these things and disconnecting from your family and disconnecting from real relationships? Shouldn't you just go play basketball, or shouldn't you just go to the park? There are plenty of places to meet people. How do you respond to that as people
can do both, for sure. Like, I mean, you know, I have obviously this Facebook group that has 15,000 people in it and need a lot from me. But I also started a community table, which is another Facebook group that we started back in April. And we meet every 2 weeks, and we don't put, like, that we're Christ-centered or whatever. We do now, but we didn't to begin with. And it's for single adults who live in Nashville who may not have any community. And that's what we want. We want to find single people, young people in Nashville that don't have community, and we want to connect them to community. And we've created this beautiful community that meets every 2 weeks. And we just... And that's a huge part of who I am as well. And, you know, nobody in the church communications group knows that I'm also doing that or whatever. Outside of that, it's not like I'm not in a kickball league too.
So here's my pushback too, though, is you and I just met face-to-face for the first time.
Ever.
I felt like I knew you, though.
I felt like we've been already best friends since, like... Yes. 3 or 4 years ago.
And I don't think we've even done a video chat before.
Never.
I think, but we interact.
This is like our first real conversation. You're hearing it right now.
But we're friends.
Does that make sense? Oh, yeah. I feel like we're totally on board for the same thing.
I think people have a hard time that have not experienced online community, how real those relationships are.
You know,
not that face-to-face isn't valuable and critically important, but the depth of relationship can be very real just online.
It can. That's what's so crazy. Like, me and Kenny have hung out twice, and, like, a lot of times I'll text Kenny, and I'll be like, I just need to, like, vent to someone who understands me in, like, a way, who I know is not going to go back to my pastor and be like, ah, Kenny, you know? and I feel like I have that relationship with him where he can, like, it would be a sounding board for me. And
Kenny's probably not a good example for a normal relationship.
Right, probably not. He's fantastic. But
he is fantastic.
Yeah. I don't think people understand how online relationships can be just as real as not online relationships. But you know what? You don't know that until you try it yourself. And it's scary at first because you're thinking there could be some real creeps out there. And there are. You got to be careful. But at the same time, like, I don't think you should let your fear hold you back from it. I think that's the worst. I was just talking, like, somebody brought up Snapchat again in our group. And an article that
Speaking
I wrote.
Of creeps. Yep.
Yeah. And they were like, well, I'm a youth pastor and I don't want to use Snapchat because I'm so afraid I'm going to get like a naked picture.
Yeah.
And I said, you could get a naked picture on Facebook today. Like, they have secret messaging that
or
disappears.
Email or, yeah.
Email, text message. They could literally print it out. Like, kids have ability to do that now. Like, you know? It's not like they have to go and take it to a Walgreens or anything. They can print it off on their computer. Like, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. So I think that that's a sorry excuse for not wanting to engage with them on a platform that they're on. I think that you should never let your fear hold you back from your ministry.
Yep.
But what do I know, you know?
Well, I love it. I appreciate your insights and sharing that. Anything you want to share with church leaders from the things that you've learned and about Facebook groups as we wrap up the podcast?
Yeah. Start a Facebook group. Find 10 friends. Think of something that you love. It could be comic books.
Yes.
I mean, Walking Dead's fine.
Yes.
Like, literally anything. And name it, like, locally, though. Like, name it, like, Nashville Walking Dead Club or something.
Yeah.
And say, all right, we're going to get together and watch The Walking Dead next week at, like, this place. And, you know, just get started.
Yep.
It's so simple. It's so easy. I think we overcomplicate it. And don't let your fear hold you back from it.
Yeah. So very practically, what I heard is, I will add in a step here.
Yeah.
First step, go join the Church Communications Facebook group if you're not already in it. Best model for a Facebook group, period, on Facebook. Watch how Katie leads that group. Then go start a Facebook group. Get 10 friends to join you in the Facebook group and model how Katie has led the other group and see what happens and build meaningful relationships. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
Nick, any final thoughts for you as we close the podcast?
I think it's good. I would echo all of that. Join the group and learn from a pro.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Katie.
Yeah, it was great.